You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
I've never spoken to my son about his overseas business.
I have never discussed with my son or my brother or anyone else anything having to do with their businesses, period.
Do you think it was wrong for him to take that position?
No.
Knowing that it was really because company wanted access to you.
Well, that's not true. You're saying things you do not know what you're talking about. No one said that. Who said that?
Who said that? Who said that? That's Joe Biden in repeated denials that he had anything, even any conversations with Hunter Biden or Joe with his brother in all their business dealings all around the world while he was vice president and afterwards. Denying all of it. We're going to get into that in more detail because it didn't sound right then. It doesn't sound right now any more than something else that Joe Biden 1 year ago today, said, let me get the copy and read it to you directly. I want to make sure I do not misquote the man. I try to make sure we always got the exact facts in front of us. And the facts were that 1 year ago today, he said, our experts believe and the data shows most of the price increases we've seen were expected and expected to be temporary. In other words, this inflation, all these high wage, this high price of fuel, food, it's temporary. It's transitioning. That was 1 year ago today. How's that working out for you, by the way? Welcome once again. This is July 19, 2022. We are live streaming right now at rumble.com, and a story just broke as the news was wrapping. I'm waiting to see more details. We'll be following it as we go through this hour. Fox News reporting, one of the sources, someone says that at the Hoover Dam, they are reporting a big explosion at the Hoover Dam. Now, that's all they're getting right now other than an explosion reported. Someone being quoted as saying something's just blown up. That's at the Hoover Dam. We'll continue to update that and watch that story for you. Don't know if it's going to create a catastrophe or it's something that's minor and if it's an accident or a terrorist act. So also, while we try to decide just how transitory this inflation is going to be, you got to deal with it. And the Biden administration is absolutely clueless. And really, they just don't care. It's not by mistake these gas prices are shoved up like this. They want you to go green, to get off the fossil fuels. Interesting point, though. While they're pushing for that each and every day and time, and John Kerry, the energy czar, flying all over the world, emitting numerous emissions, no one has told Kerry, or does he not realize, if we shut off all fossil fuel production, drilling, refining, you won't have any aviation fuel for your jet? How are you going to make all those cross-the-world trips in your private jet? We'll be getting into that. And also today, I'm going to be joined by Beth Whitehead, a writer for The Federalist, and she says there are 10 ways the pro-abortion radical left proves it is not really pro-choice. It's not even pro-women. They will tell you, hey, we're pro-choice. We're pro-women. Protect the women and their women's rights. She says, no, they're not. We'll explain that. Also going to be joined today by author Scott S. Powell. He has out a new book, Discovering America, but what I'm really, rather, Rediscovering America. But what I'm really interested in discussing with him, he is saying, and he's been on Congress testifying at least twice, based on his expertise, the U.S. is already in World War III. We're already in the midst of it. You might summarize what he might mean, but you want to hear it directly from him, and you will before this program is up today. And then, of course, the public belief and faith in news media, down, down, dropping lower and lower. Even one MSNBC anchor says, I don't know if I'm valuable anymore. My answer is, no, you're not. But this program is Lock and Load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. Caught somewhere between a boy and man. She was 17 and she was far from in between. Summertime in northern Michigan.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Fed, our White House, spent trillions of dollars to take us over the COVID crisis. My opinion is they should delay increasing in interest rates before they destroy the real estate industry and other industries in the United States with high interest rates.
Yeah.
Delay it 30, 60, 90 days because oil prices, if we give them a little bit of optimism, will come down. Then food prices will stabilize, so the rate of inflation will not go out of hand.
Okay.
My criticism of President Biden is he should have went to Texas, he should have went to Alaska, he should have went to Canada. He would have gotten more results in oil than he did in Saudi Arabia, which is very sad.
It is very sad. The speaker you were listening to is an American billionaire, businessman, John Katsimatidis, head of various businesses, and he knows of what he speaks. He knows that this administration is blowing a lot of opportunities. Katsimatidis is head of a group known as Red Apple and also has other groups, the United Energy. And he says there's evidence here when we look at all this that everything this administration is doing is a failure because they either don't understand, which is very likely, because if you recall a recent survey of the top 60 to 80 experts, quote, experts in the Biden administration that are dealing with economic type issues have 0, that would be a fat 0% knowledge, education, in finance? They don't know. Those that have some, maybe two and a half years. This is who we have making decisions that are affecting your life, your children's life, your grandchildren's life, now and for the foreseeable future. And Katsimatidis is saying, oh, you're taking all the money we spent on COVID? Why wouldn't you do that to help the American people, basically? And why the question we ask repeatedly, why in hell go to Saudi Arabia to beg for oil when you've got it right under your feet right here? We were energy independent under Trump. We did not have to import any oil. We did some for trade advantages, and we exported, of course, much more than we imported, but we had enough for us here. If you want to go green pie in the sky, that's fine, but don't you think you should build something that will accommodate and be at low cost for everyone before you shut down their cars, their tractors on the farms, raise the price of their fertilizers, install more regs and regulations, which will make it tougher for them? And that's also in play, by the way. That's also in play. There's a report I've just got here at hand. The Biden administration is still pushing forward with a plan to introduce tight restrictions on the use of the herbicide farmers say is crucial if we're going to ensure productivity at low prices. But the EPA, reversing a Trump-era rule that allowed farmers to utilize this at this herbicide at a higher rate, suddenly says, oh, no, no, we need to stop that. Well, that's going to be less food grown, produced, not only for Americans, but what we help share around the globe. The idea of this administration is more regulations, more taxes. None of that's an answer. Let me put it this way. This is akin to someone who's drowning. I hope you've never been around such a situation. I hope you've never been in that situation. But if you're trained and you're going to help them, and even if you're not trained, you have to remember this. When they're drowning, they're flailing away, grabbing at anything and everything. If you get too close to them and you approach them incorrectly and you don't have control of them when you get there, they're going to grab you and they'll pull you down and start trying to climb on top of you to get out of the water. You will get drowned. If you have something, you push it to them, you get as close to give it to them, a flotation, and then try to get them to calm down, hang on, then you get them safely out. Right now, we are all flailing around, and this Biden administration, they're not going to throw any life raft to us. They're not going to come near us. They're just going to let us suffer because they are the elite. And they shouldn't have to go through this kind of stuff. And they're not. They're not being affected by this. Carol Markowitz is a writer for the New York Post, and she says, they may not be, but that's not what I'm hearing from America.
I hear from Americans all the time about how much pain they're in economically, how gas prices are affecting their lives. And it's been really tough to watch the White House not respond to these feelings at all, and to have them kind of mock these things. You know, when Jen Psaki said it was the tragedy of the treadmill not being delivered when the supply chain was really having issues, it's sort of that attitude that's been kind of prevalent in all of this. They just don't seem to care that Americans are hurting. And when the president says, oh, individual gas stations to bring down prices. I'm not an economist. I'm not in finance, but I know how some of these things work. Yeah. It's not the individual gas station setting the price, and it's scary that the president doesn't seem to know that.
I'm willing to bet that you're not an economist either. But you understand that. Just like you're not a biologist, but you know the difference between a male and a female. We have a Supreme Court justice now who said she can't really describe it. She doesn't really know. This is how far out of whack our country is getting. And not just us, but around the rest of the world. We're going to get into that in more detail in the second hour. But again, Cancer Matidis had pointed out, and Cancer Matidis again, he is the head of the group called Red Apple. He has seen a lot of this stuff. Red Apple Investment, also United Refining Incorporated. So he knows and understands how the economy works. That's the kind of guy you should have on a Biden White House team. The kind of guy that Trump reached out to when they wanted some advice and direction. And he's saying, if the Fed is really going to hike the rates again, and maybe as high as what they've been saying, a point or more, you're going to kill the housing market of what exists. And everything's going to start. It's 2008 all over again. The failures, the banks, and the mortgage companies. Well, of course, some banks were too big to fail, so we helped them out. But you the little guy, tough luck. You might as well jump into the water with the sharks and try to find your way out. But Cancer Matidis also says, you think it's bad now at the grocery store? Food prices lag behind energy prices. These are his words. 3 months. Maybe 4 months. So take this month of July. Or let's go back to June. Now, gas prices have dropped a few cents here and there. But not really that much. Not compared to where we were before Biden came in. We're double what we had when Trump was in office. Mainly because he wants to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. He wants to stop and severely restrict drilling in this country and offshore. And rely on foreign oil, and then dip into our strategic reserves to give some fuel to the Americans, trying to buy votes, that's what that's for, and sell some to others such as whoever has the highest bid, which would be like China. There's nothing in there that's pro-American. And knowing the knowledge that Cancer Matidis has, you take this month or last month, whenever fuel prices hit the highest, and you jump forward 3-4 months, you know when that food price increase is really going to hit? That would be, let me see, what are we coming up on? Thanksgiving? And then the holidays of Christmas and New Year's and Rosh Hashanah, all of these. And yet Biden said that this is all transitory. Scott Martin with Keynes View Wealth is also an analyst for Fox Business News. And he was asked directly because the question had been phrased that perhaps what we have going on here, that while Biden continues to insist that it's only transitory and everything's going to be better, and bragged the other day that gas prices had fallen below $5 a gallon, and he demands credit because it's gone down. He won't take blame when it goes up, but I'll damn sure call for credit when it's coming down. I did that. White House economic advisor to the president, Jared Bernstein, boasted from the podium of the White House press briefing how great things is. The president's reached and reacted from the beginning. He's doing everything he can on behalf of the American people. Then he got frustrated when asked why Biden tried to take credit for the falling gas prices, but wouldn't take credit or blame when they're going up. And he said, well, I disagree with that framing. Well, of course you would. And then the remark and the question asked of Martin, Scott Martin, Kingsview Wealth, are we in a recession?
The data says I think we are. And I think that's basically a Q1 and Q2 thing and maybe into Q3. So he's going to be proven wrong. It's funny to hear him talk about inflation, too, because I thought this was part of the plan as well. Along the way, Joe Biden was going to combat inflation, then he wasn't, and then inflation was rising, but it was slowing. Look, as you talked about with Dan in the previous segment, the administration has no plan to attack any of the problems that ail the economy. They're not going to have the plans. The plans are going to come after November when they get whooped, and then you're maybe going to see things clear up. And that's going to be because we get a shift in Congress and also an economic recession that takes care of demand and therefore alleviates some of the supply pressures as well.
So we had to go through that before we come out of it. Well, sometimes you do have to go through hard times before you get to the end. I understand that. But this isn't your making. This is something that's been forced upon us that we never had to endure. Except for the green pie in the sky liberal radical agenda that has control of Biden. That's why we're in this mess. And in fact, when it comes to Biden claiming credit for prices when they go down, but refusing to accept blame when they go up, again, Carol Markowitz of the New York Times, or rather New York Post, says that's pretty common with this administration.
I think a lot of Americans are hurting, and I think this administration is really out to lunch and doesn't pay any attention to any of this. It's been such a long time of them saying, you know, inflation isn't happening, or this is not our fault is a big common one. This is the Putin price hike. This is the, you know, Donald Trump issue. It's always somebody else's fault. And it's funny because it's never somebody else's credit that unemployment is low. That somehow is still they're doing.
Yep, they're doing, not us. We didn't do it. It's not just happening here. You've got this green pie in the sky going around the world. I mean, the Dutch government issuing a plan, laying out natural emission reductions. That's going to reduce the amount of farming they can do in that land, that nation. And then you got John Kerry still jetting all over the world. He doesn't care that you're suffering. That story coming up. Welcome back. Reminding you, we are live Zooming at Rumble.com. Go to Rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. You can join us here in studio. Now, I will need to update you on a story I reported in our opening monologue and a report of an explosion at the Hoover Dam. A woman was the one who was being quoted, and she apparently had it on video showing a small explosion and black smoke. A male voice, perhaps a security guard or a guide, also noted the explosion. The fire apparently was extinguished before the Boulder City Fire Department arrived at the scene. There seems to be, at this time, no major damage. At least those are the initial reports. And Lake Mead, of course, rests in the shadow of the Hoover Dam, and it's been a big recreational area, but the water's been dropping so much. June's depth, Lake Mead is at the lowest it's been since 1937. Now, of course, climate alarmists would say, it's climate. There's more to it than that. But they're also, you know, looking at all the heat wave, and we're suffering some strong heat waves here and elsewhere around the world. And they're again asserting with confidence that humans are responsible for all this. And to that extent, Joe Biden is now thinking about calling for a national climate emergency, because his Build Back Better plan exploded, or imploded, however you want to deal with it. According to sources close to the White House, confirming to the Washington Post, the president's desire to declare a climate emergency this week and announce, here they come again. Stand back. We don't know how big they're going to get, but they're going to get big. Additional actions aimed at curbing planet warming emissions. What else you got that they can take away from you? You do know that they don't want you to eat steak because they come from cows, and cows fart, and that creates methane gas. They're going to kill off more cows, I guess. Well, for that matter, why not kill off more people? There'd be fewer people breathing, wouldn't there? And in the meantime, John Kerry, according to numbers from his plane, known as the Flying Squirrel LLC, that pretty well explains everything, a charter company owned by his wife, Gulfstream, 48 trips lasting more than 60 hours, emitting 715,000 pounds of carbon just since Joe Biden became president. He even used his jet to fly to get an award for helping reduce emissions. I kid you not, he did. But you just suffer. You suffer. You figure it out. To that extent, the executive director of Power of the Future, Daniel Turner, told Fox News, the problem with folks like John Kerry and the climate hypocrites who run the green movement is they want to use the coercive power of government. They want to deny the rest of us the ability to use the fossil fuels they take and use for granted. He said they refuse to voluntarily live how they want the rest of us to be forced to live. It doesn't just make them hypocrites. It makes them, quite frankly, a threat to the rights and freedoms of people around the world. Again, this is the executive director of Power of the Future, Daniel Turner. And he added this. He added it, and boy, is he right. When John Kerry voluntarily lives the way he wants the rest of us to live, the way he wants to compel us to live, then we can talk about climate goals. And we're buying oil from some of the dirtiest oil-producing nations in the world because we won't use our own oil and gas. Coming up, the radical abortionists insist they are pro-choice, pro-women. My next guest says, no, they're not. And she can tell you exactly what they really are. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Ackerman Toyota believes when you need service, you want genuine parts, certified mechanics, no hidden cost. You get all of that with Ackerman Toyota. Plus, if you're ready for a new car or pre-owned, see what Ackerman has on the lot or what's coming. Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Photo op, photo op, photo op in D.C. Congresswoman Omar and others of Congress arrested by Capitol Police outside the Supreme Court building during an abortion rights protest. Police say we warned them not to block the traffic. We gave our standard warning and then we start making arrests. Well, they don't care. They're happy to be arrested because they're doing it for the right thing. Because Roe v. Wade, law of the land, should be reinstalled. And these abortion radicalists are taking advantage in many ways of women's rights and those who are pro-choice, but not to the extent these radicals are. Joining me is Beth Whitehead, a contributor to The Federalist. Beth, glad to have you on board.
Hi, Larry. good to be here.
I took note of the piece that you wrote, The 10 Ways a Pro-Abortion Left Proves It Is Not Pro-Choice Nor Pro-Women. Well, now, they will tell you, Beth, you were wrong. We are both. We are pro-choice and we are pro-women. How dare you say no?
Yeah, they will. They inflate abortion into a fundamental rights issue. And they're correct that it's a fundamental issue, but their very strategy that actually illustrates that abortion is not a right. The left is trying to take all choice out of abortion. They're eliminating women's options of other pregnancy resources, like crisis pregnancy centers. Senator Warren just said that the government should shut down crisis pregnancy centers in Massachusetts. They should shut them down all across the country.
And yet if a woman, if that's the way she wants to have manage her family growth and so forth, you're not allowed to do that. Is that correct?
Correct. It's like if they're reducing the issue of choice down to one option. They say that abortion is the way that women ought to go, and they're lying about the risks and the dangers that abortion poses to women. They're lying about the chemical abortion pill, which is the leading cause of abortion-related ER visits for women.
Well, they also want to support, I noticed you point out in your article, you're listening to Beth Whitehead with The Federalist, the left is framing support for women as an anti-choice campaign, but you point out to the Catholic Diocese of Belleville in Illinois has suddenly had some problems over similar issues.
Yes, in Illinois, a bishop was going to sell a house that they've used to house bishops for the past several years. He's going to sell it for the funds to go to a maternity fund. What the St. Louis Post-Dispatch did not really report on was that it was merely going to go to a maternity fund, but also like Catholic education and youth programs. What it did say was that it was going to fund the anti-abortion battle. They automatically just frame it in terms of this is anti-abortion. Pro-life is anti-women. On the contrary, pro-life is actually incredibly pro-women. It's not political. It's focused on helping women keep their children and helping them emotionally and physically. Whereas the pro-abortion left is actually using the abortion issue as a political one.
I've often said, I hope it's a traumatic situation for a woman to have an abortion and not just kind of laissez-faire, oh, I'll do that, and then maybe I'll get my nails done later today. And just indifferent as, well, I can't have a baby and pay my cable TV and go on that trip to Cayman. That there's more thought and concern that goes with it. But unfortunately, I think a lot of these women don't. And then the other day, these radical abortionists said, well, we will fix you. We will keep our legs closed. We won't have sex with men. Oh, well, then the issue is resolved.
Right. The abortion is about a choice. It's about a choice to keep your baby or to kill your baby. It also involves a choice to not get pregnant in the first place. The pro-abortion left just assumes that women are naturally in a quandary that has been forced upon them. It's like, no, rape and incest victims are less than 1% of the population, and you cannot legislate for 99% of the population based on the 1%. It's common sense, but the left is not spinning that narrative. They're not telling people this. They're hiding the facts from these women.
To that extent, you even point out they are definitely exploiting rape victims.
They are. They're putting them on a pedestal for a political platform, when in reality, they don't seem to care about a 10-year-old girl who traveled across state lines recently to have an abortion, but they didn't care. The media didn't care at all about finding who had impregnated this girl, figuring out, this is a rape, this is a crime. They didn't care about that. They didn't care about counseling for her. All they cared about was that she should get an abortion. They didn't seem to care that the perpetrator was on the large.
And her state said that in our state, we would have allowed an abortion for her at her age under those situations. Now, they also didn't point out that he's an illegal. And in fact, the doctor who performed the abortion in the police report identified the offender as a teenager, indicating 17, when in fact he's 27, illegal. His DNA is found in the girl. He's confessed to it. And yet all of that just slide past the facts.
Yeah, it goes counter to their agenda, which is entirely political, as we saw at the Senate Judiciary hearing, where Senator Josh Hawley asked Berkeley professor, law professor, right, Kiara Bridges, he asked her, okay, so when you refer to pregnant persons, are you referring to women? And she called him absolutely transphobic for even assuming this is a women's rights issue. So they're touting that it's a women's rights issue, that it comes down to choice, and they're not even willing to, like, to limit it to that. It is truly only a political platform for them.
And, of course, as we have seen with the left, they have no problem if they are the cause of the violence, if they can justify it. And they are entitled to First Amendment rights of protest like they were in front of the Supreme Court, but don't block the streets. That's what happened today. And they knew they would be arrested, and they use it for a photo op and a fundraiser. All they had to do is get on the sidewalk. They could have continued, but they're claiming we're being denied our right, and then we will go firebomb fertility clinics, and we will attack women who are thinking about, you know, having their baby. We'll malign them, we'll slur, we'll slander them, and if you dare cross the line to do the same to them, you will be held accountable.
Yeah. It's insane. They're covering up all these facts. Like, 99% of women who go to a crisis pregnancy center report that they are satisfied when they leave. And yet the left is saying that crisis pregnancy centers are hoodwinking people into their doors and providing them false services. And a recent poll by APLOG, the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians and Gynecologists, just found that 66% of people believed that life started at conception, as long as it was phrased to them that a fetus has a genetic blueprint upon conception. But once they knew that, then they decided, oh, you know what? I think it has life. And then later on, when they asked further questions about, okay, do you think there should be abortion bans once there's an indication of life? Most of them said yes.
The other issue being now that the decision by the Supreme Court, and this is the point that the abortionists, again, want to ignore the facts. They're saying abortion is outlawed in the U.S., and that is not true.
No, not a bit. It simply turns the decision back to states.
Where it should
have
been.
And a lot of states have.
Or even Ruth Bader Ginsburg said the court overreached its decision on Roe v. Wade. She wasn't on the court at the time, but she said they overreached. They should have stuck with the case in hand.
They absolutely overreached. They fabricated a constitutional right out of the murder of children. That is nowhere is that a right. It is a choice, yes, but it is not a right.
The other thing that continues to absolutely amaze me, that many of the black women that are participating in this were pro-abortion are negating the fact that 30-40% of those aborted are minority, and almost every Planned Parenthood center is placed in a poor community. They can provide medical health for women, but they're there to perform abortions.
Yeah, I think it's around 40% of abortions, or of women who have abortions, are African American. And people just don't understand that, that the left is capitalizing on ethnicity, it is capitalizing on circumstances. It is capitalizing on women. It's hoodwinking them. It's telling us women that this is all about our body and our choice, and it's all about their narrative and their desire to control.
VP Harris just last night said we've been used to being controlled before, referring to slavery, and she's forgetting, I guess, that Margaret Sanger founded Planned Parenthood with the idea and abortion of getting rid of the undesirables, black people,
yes,
in her view. Beth, I want to thank
you. Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for your time. Audience, I will get into
thank
that
you,
subject.
Larry.
I'll get into that subject with my audience on the other side of the break. Beth Whitehead of The Federalist, thank you for your time. And also, I'll tell you about a man who's standing up and saying, stand up for the babies, the unborn. You think he might lose his job over it? Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town and Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town and Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so we were talking about a moment ago with our guest we just had on, Beth Whitehead with The Federalist. Excellent piece she wrote in The Federalist. I encourage you to look at it in its entirety. Basically saying 10 ways the pro-abortion left, talking about the radicalist, prove they are not pro-choice and they're not pro-women. Now, they'll be out there shouting, and they'll have other women join them saying, we're pro-choice, we should be able to make the decisions for ourselves. And they'll be out there shouting, we're for women, but they're not for women either. And in fact, who can define a woman anymore among the extreme liberals? No one. I mentioned in closing with her that Vice President Harris was speaking earlier this month in D.C., and she compared the Supreme Court ruling overturning a constitutional right to abortion to America's history of slavery. That's right. Her remark, our country has a history of claiming ownership over human bodies, and she got applause. This is in the NAACP 113th Convention in New Jersey. I said D.C. That was another event she spoke at. But again, she wants to compare the Supreme Court ruling to overturn a constitutional right to abortion to America's history of slavery. That this is just another way for the white people to own human bodies. With a lot of white women who also have abortions. How does that fit with your statement? Let me help you decipher that. It doesn't. It doesn't fit with it at all. But here she is, trying again to pull the race card. And, of course, she had her script on the teleprompter and everything was working. So she wouldn't have the gaps like Biden does, because we've seen her when there's no teleprompter and she's trying to respond to a question, even a simple question. She has basically come up with what we have called by some, and I'll go for the same term, word salad, which is a strange idea looking at it, but that's what it amounts to. We have Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh has a position about abortions. And the reason he's speaking out is that the future of abortion rights will soon be up to the voters in Michigan because, again, the decision about whether an abortion will be allowed or not goes back to the states, which is where it should always be. It's not a constitutional right to have an abortion. If your state wants to allow women to have an abortion and you elect people that will support that and make sure that happens, then that's what your state does. But Michigan could become the first in the nation to let voters decide the manner. They've got a constitutional amendment that would override a 90-year-old state law that makes abortion a felony, even in the case of rape or incest. So the recent overturning of Roe v. Wade as law of the land has a lot of activists getting involved and rushing into Michigan now. And they want to make sure that they have the amendment on the November ballot, and then they will decide whether they will or will not allow abortions in Michigan. Against that backdrop, the Michigan football coach, Jim Harbaugh, I should say. Let me read his quote. "I believe in having the courage to let the unborn be born. I love life. I believe in having a loving care and respect for life and death. My faith in my science are what drives these beliefs to me." Quoting from Jeremiah, and I've always loved this quote myself. I mean, I took it really to heart when my children were to be born. He quotes Jeremiah, God stating to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." So here in an era where you speak up about pro-life can get you tarnished by the mob, it's good to see somebody like him take a stand. A lot of folks will criticize him, challenging him, may try to get him ousted from his job, the Michigan football coach. But he's taking a stand. And he's exercising his First Amendment rights. You want to disagree? You have a First Amendment right to disagree. You shouldn't be fired from your job because you disagree. But there's the rub. The First Amendment to some is only good when I'm saying something, not when you're talking. Coming up in the next hour, I guess it tells us that we are already in World War III. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.